And now the game where we reward a lifetime of achievement with 5 minutes of confusion. Dwight Yoakam was born with a big disadvantage for a future country star. Namely, he was raised in Ohio. He overcame that handicap to become one of the biggest country stars in the last 30 years with multiple platinum albums and number one songs. Dwight Yoakam, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. How fun to talk to you.
Well, it's good to be here, Peter. It's nice to talk to you. You know, I never looked at it as a handicap. You know, Bobby Bear came out of Southern Ohio. A lot of great singers came out of that Ohio Valley region. It's just 90 miles from the river there in Kentucky, where I was born, where, you know, a lot of us were taillight babies back and forth on the weekend. So,
taillight babies?
Part of that region's history.
What is a taillight baby?
Well, kids, you know, there were people that moved to Ohio, moved to Detroit, you know, Michigan. And it seemed like on Route 23 that went through Columbus, Ohio, and on down to the river Ashland in eastern Kentucky and then Huntington, West Virginia, there was a steady stream on any given Friday evening of people going, quote, home. My mother used to say, we're going to go home this weekend, though we had lived and, you know, moved away from Kentucky. So I used to call other kids, you know, kids that would make that trip a lot, taillight babies. You kind of sit in the back, you know, looking at taillights.
Has it ever occurred to you that would make a fantastic country song?
Yeah.
It would be. Now, we understand that you were playing music and very interested in music from a very young age, right?
Yeah, well, from memory, there was a guitar around there. Shots of me when I was probably about 18 months old, dragging an old F. Hole K guitar around with my granny, Earlene Tibbs, holding it up for me. I actually eventually tripped and fell over it and broke it. And
That's a musical background.
And were you playing it when you were dragging it around, or was it just like a toy?
Well, probably about what I'm doing now with it. So, yeah.
Were you writing sad songs about being a toddler? Like,
no,
the night is long and my pants are full, that sort of thing.
It's kind of like My Bucket's Got a Hole in It by Hank Williams, you know.
Would
apply to a toddler.
Right.
No, but the first thing I ever wrote when I was 8 years old.
Really? You wrote a song when you were 8 years old? What was it?
Well, Vietnam had begun in full swing in the living room every night on the news, and I wrote a song called How Far Is Heaven about Vietnam.
Mm. Really?
Could you sing it for us?
Yeah, would I sing it for you?
Yes.
No,
for anyone?
I can do a moment of it.
Go ahead.
My daddy got killed over in Vietnam, and here's just a few things I don't understand. How far is heaven? When can I go? I miss my daddy. Oh, I miss him so. Anyway, so it's a trial.
You were eight years old?
If my 8-year old son sang that song, he'd written it himself, I would be torn between getting him an agent and a therapist. That is.
I was going to say, you'd seek help.
Yes, that's amazing that you did that.
My dad was a little confused because he wasn't sure what it was, because he was no longer in the Army.
Was he encouraging his re-enlistment? I didn't think of that. Here you are. I'm thinking of your father. You're sitting there. Your son, amazing prodigy, is singing a song he wrote, and in it, you die. That's.
Exactly. It probably affected our relationship the rest of our lives.
I can imagine. Now, I heard that you went off to Nashville as a young man, and you were not well received there. How can that possibly be true?
Well, they didn't know I was there.
Oh, I see.
I mean, I still think they probably wouldn't have cared, even if they'd known.
Did you find yourself having to do the classic thing that country singer-songwriters do, which is like have hard times so you could sing about them?
No.
You also, and I don't know much about country music, but I know a little bit about hats, and you sport a cowboy hat like nobody I've ever seen.
Hat's done all the work. Right?
Yeah.
I just like that block when I went in, and like, I think it, the first hat, that original hat, the hat, was blocked by Manuel Cuevas, and so I think I got that from him in 1979. Ray, he was out on Lancashire Boulevard, North Hollywood, and I told him, I said, I want the brim kind of this way and that way. And it was very much kind of a late 60s, early 70s. It was called Bull Riders,
I have to interrupt, because not only do you know, like, the legacy of the music you play, you know the history of your hat just as well.
Of who blocks good hats. You know what? You're a wonderful musician, but you're throwing away a career as a historian.
Dwight Yoakam, it is a pleasure to talk to you, but we have asked you here today to play a game that this time we're calling...
You're the happiest man in the world.
You genuinely might be, but as a country singer and songwriter, we also know you have shared your tales of woe and heartbreak. So we're going to ask you three questions about one Matthieu Ricard. He is a French-born Buddhist monk who is reputed to be the happiest man in the world as measured by science.
Huh.
Answer two questions about Mr. Ricard correctly. You will win our prize. Carl Castle's voice for one of our listeners. Bill, who is Dwight Yoakam playing for?
Nicole Corson of Potomac Falls, Virginia.
So you ready to do this?
Sure.
Okay. Here's your first question. Ricard grew up the son of a wealthy, famous couple in France, but he left that life to pursue enlightenment in the Himalayas. Why? A, he accidentally set fire to his parents' piano and had to flee. B, all the famous, successful people his parents hung out with were miserable. Or C, he heard that the best pot in the world grew in the mountains of Nepal.
I'm going to suggest B.
You're going to suggest B, you say with some confidence. And you are right.
Well.
His parents were very well known in artistic circles. So he grew up hanging around with people like the poet André Breton, the filmmaker Louis Buñuel, and he decided
seemed to me arrogant enough and self-absorbed enough in answers.
So. You're right. It was pretty good. But he thought all these people, they're miserable despite their success, so clearly there's another way. Mm. Is that true in your experience, that you meet a lot of famous, successful people?
No.
Next question. He was being interviewed by Esquire magazine recently, and Ricard said that people might envy his life of sitting around meditating in the mountains, but it's not all easy. In fact, he complained about what? A, all the emails that he gets from LinkedIn. B, have you ever tried to get a decent croissant in Nepal? Or C, he said he hasn't had a day of vacation.
B.
You're going to go for B. He can't get a decent croissant there.
Yeah.
No, I'm afraid it was C. He complained about not getting a vacation. He said, quote, I took 70
flights. What a socialist.
I know. He says, I took 70 flights from 15 July to 6 November. I've not had one day off, he complained. Now, you can still win it all with this question. While Ricard lives...
What a crybaby.
No, yeah, I know.
He doesn't sound all that happy to me.
No.
Toughen up, you damn Buddhist.
Exactly.
No, I will say, before I ask you the question, that he has this reputation. In fact, if you type happiest man in the world into Google, he pops up. Mm-hmm. Because they've given him brain scans, and the pleasure, the happiness part of his brain lights up more than anybody else ever recorded. So
that could just be a glitch.
It could be. So Ricard, he does live a simple life of a Buddhist monk, but he has made one concession to modern times. What? A, his robes are made of Under Armour performance wicking fabric because, quote, sitting still all day makes you sweat more than you'd think. B, he has a cell phone, although the ringtone is a loud Buddhist chant. Or C, every year he goes to the Upper East Side of New York City to have his head waxed in a salon because he says shaving his head every day takes away valuable meditation time.
Is there music playing now?
No. It's just an uncomfortable silence.
Kind of a drag. I'm going to go with B.
You're going to go with B? He has a cell phone? Of course he has a cell phone. It's 2015.
Yeah. There you go.
And we know this because when he was being interviewed by Esquire magazine, it went off. So that's how we know.
There you go. But it was with a wonderful Buddhist chant.
Exactly. Bill, how did Dwight Yoakam do in our quiz?
Well, Dwight Yoakam got 2 out of 3, and that makes him a winner.
Thank you, Dwight. Congratulations. That was well done.
Yeah, well, as Bobby Bear, that other country singer from Ohio, said, I'm a winner.
You are. Dwight Yoakam is a multiple Grammy Award-winning artist. You can currently catch him on tour in support of his most recent album, Secondhand Heart. I listened to it all day. It is fantastic. Dwight Yoakam, thank you so much.
Thanks, Dwight.
For joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. What a joy.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir.
call home.